Soy-co. Welcome to the 1 o'clock no sour haha funny hour. No sour, happy, fun time, haha power hour. Welcome to the no sour fun time haha power hour.
Oh, she did it.
I got it.
I think she's got it. By George, she's got it. By George, she's got it.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin! Welcome to the No Sour Ha Ha Fun Time Power Hour.
Yeah.
That's it.
You said it. Yeah, I've heard you say it right before.
Yeah, yeah, I've been saying it right. It took me about a month, but we've been saying it right.
Maybe longer. That's fine.
That's fine. We got Greg Bach here. We got Jane Madden here, as always. And we also have Milwaukee comedian AJ Grill on the phone. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. This show's flying by.
Yeah.
We had lots of comedians today. We should do this more.
Yeah, we should have more comedians on. We need more attention.
We need to live up to the tagline.
Yeah.
The tagline of one joke at a time.
Yeah.
Because
thank you.
There's a lot of serious things, but we need more jokes, AJ.
Other than Greg, who else did you have on today?
We had Corey Ryan Forrester from the Well Read Group, because he had we didn't even have him on for necessarily the most fun reason, because he had a video that went fairly viral this week about becoming a new dad and not being more conservative because of the shooting that happened in Nashville. But he was still funny.
Very funny.
We got around to the comedy part as well. But we're very happy to have you here as a Milwaukee comedian for the last 10 years, and you got a new album out. And so is it out or have you just filmed it?
It's out. It's on YouTube. The audio version has not come out yet, but we will be releasing that soon. But yeah, it's on YouTube for everyone to go view.
And what's it called, AJ?
I'll quit when I'm 30.
There it is.
Are you 30?
I'm 31.
31.
He quit a year ago. He still comes to the open mics. He's like, I don't know why I'm doing this. I had a contract with comedy.
Yep. That's right.
So is that the premise of the album? Is basically when you started comedy 10 years ago, and did you have a promise to yourself that you'd quit when you were 30?
Yes, it's not the premise of the album, but yes, I remember walking home from my second open mic ever thinking, if I don't have a career, I was 21. I was like, if I don't have a career by 30, I'll quit. Which is, if you're in comedy, that's just an insane thing to think that you can't achieve. But it's just something that I've always thought about, and now I know that I'm never going to quit, probably.
No, we are addicted.
Well, and it's interesting in creative pursuits, and I would love to get your opinion on this. Like, what does having a career mean? Because I think that is probably something that each person has to define for themselves. But does it mean paying your bills with it? Does it mean getting to do it? Because whether it's acting or music or comedy, like, what does success look like? And so I guess for you, 10 years in, what has that changed over time? Or like, what is having a career, quote, I'm doing air quotes for people who are just listening, what does that mean?
That's partially why I called the album that, is because it's up for debate. I think to me it means being able to pay my bills with it, but I think I would be doing myself a disservice to say that I don't have a career in comedy. I do have a career in comedy, and I've got to do comedy all over and do some cool stuff with it. But I think to me, career is making a living doing it, which I'm not full time yet, but working my way there.
Yeah. Well, and one of the things with Corey is he was talking about having a special. He just released a special with the guys he works with. And I just wanted to know, we see all these specials on Amazon and Netflix and everything, and kind of get an idea of what goes into the process when you have a big production company. But you did this from the ground up on your own, put together everything. Like, what is it like to put together a special that you there was video and audio of yourself? Like, what's the process?
Yeah, I worked with a local group that they really focused on like music production, or not music production, like music videos. They're called Here Presents, and I worked on a project with their director, Cheston, and I just loved his work, and he was really good. But they had never done comedy before, so it was learning for me, it was learning for them. If I could go back, there's definitely some things that I would change, but I'm very happy with the product. But it's, it was a learning experience for all of us. I'm better for it. I know that they are better for it. But it was tough, you know, jumping into a part of comedy that I've never ever experienced before. So it was tough. And, you know, hindsight's always 20/20 or whatever they say. So it was tough, but I was happy with the people, especially like Cheston, that I had to kind of direct and worry about all the camera stuff, and I just really had to worry about the jokes.
We're talking to comedian AJ Grill about his new album called "I'll Quit When I'm 30." Where can people find it? On YouTube right now?
YouTube, yep, YouTube. Follow me on Instagram. I will be announcing when we're going to release the audio. Hopefully, that'll get on like SiriusXM and stuff too. So
when you say a part of comedy that you hadn't played in before, what do you mean, the album itself, or like how does that look different than just, because, you know, I feel like when you watch a special, it looks like they're just doing, and sometimes they cut between multiple different shows, but it's the same set, but it's largely just looks like you are doing your set, but there's cameras there as well. So like, what, when you say that part of comedy, like what was so new about it and so different than just doing your set at any comedy club?
For sure. We do live shows all the time, right? And I've been on camera before. I've recorded my own sets or been at places that they record your set. But this was different because I had a couple thousand dollars invested in it, which was one thing, which, you know, and I knew I had to get it right, but it was the culmination of 10 years of work, that, you know, those jokes, other than like two or three of them, are going to be done now. Yeah. I mean, so it was, and yeah, I didn't know. I don't know about distribution. I don't know about, you know, getting it on all these other platforms. Like, I've only ever focused on the show that I have that night, making it the best that it can possibly be. Where this was like, I'm jumping into this thing that's going to live on, hopefully past, you know, beyond me. And how do I make it the best I can possibly make it? So yeah, it was nerve wracking.
Yeah. Cause when you decide you're going to do a special or record a record, usually, I mean, you know, from our experience, you used to say like, all right, next year I'm going to do it, because that means at that point you're going to start even the material you've been doing for years over and over and over again. You now have to take a special microscope to a special, magnifying glass to, and say, I have to look at this joke I've been doing for years, and I really have to fine tune it. I have to hone it down. No fat on this joke, no extraneous words, and it has to be perfect. And I have to be able to recite that perfectly for this camera that, as you said, AJ, I've paid thousands of dollars for.
Yeah.
And is part of that, because I've found this in like the handful of sketches I've made with friends, and we've decided to film it, and we'll be laughing so hard in person, and maybe it's just because we think we're hilarious, but like when we're actually filming the thing and seeing our friend perform, or being at Laughing Tap and and being there in person, and the contagious sense of laughter in person. And so when you're saying you have to make the joke that tight, is it because things that are very funny in person don't always translate to be as funny on camera, or is it because it just lives on forever? Like, what is the, in either of you can answer.
Yeah,
this.
From my point of view, it just has to do with the time of the show. So like, you know, an album or a special has a finite amount of time you can record. So I have to make sure that if I'm doing a joke, if I have 60 minutes of material, that every joke stays within that confines. Because if you think about it, if I tack another 10 seconds onto every joke I do, I've gone over my time. Hmm. I've got to hone it down so that 60 minutes is tight, is right there, and everything. Now, AJ, I mean, I don't know how you think about it, though. So
yeah, no, I think it's both of those things, right? I mean, like, you want it to be as tight as you possibly can. But especially as you think about, like, yeah, you're not in the room with me and the audience, and so it does have to hit super hard. And then on the flip side of that, if you think about the audio, you're not seeing the little idiosyncrasies of, I mean, you just had to tell the audience you were doing air quotes. I mean, you can't see my act outs. I have a particular joke where I talk about my grandmother with Parkinson's, who also has a concealed carry permit. And I do the little act out of shaking the gun around, but that's not going to translate as well in the video, or excuse me, the audio. So yeah, you got to think about all those sorts of things.
And what I love about AJ, because AJ, as he knows, is one of my favorite people. I think about that joke. I love that joke. And now I'm telling that joke in my head because I love that joke so much. She got a shiny new gun.
One thing I didn't add it into the album, but my grandmother is now in an assisted living, and I was gifted that gun.
Yeah. So
now
Jane, you had a question?
I do. AJ, is it, now you said you're going to have to give up some jokes because they're, you know, it's recorded forever. Isn't that like giving up a favorite thing? I just would think that for some jokes, it's got to be so painful. It's like, God, I love that joke, and it kills every time, and oh.
There's part of that, and I mean, that's not to say that if someone's going to pay me good money to headline outside of the city of Milwaukee, I'll break into some of those old jokes. Don't be wrong. The price is right. But like, I think I would like to. I don't have kids, but I imagine, like, by the time your kid's 18, you're like, okay, you got to go. Like, it's time for you. I love you. I love you so much, but you gotta get out of here.
I'm sick of you. I'm sick of telling you.
I mean, yeah, that's, yeah.
Move on.
That's the thing about, like, you know, when we watch our, I don't know if we call them colleagues or whatever, but these comics who are out there putting out, especially every 2 years, I mean, that's what they're doing. They write new material, they tour it for about a year, then they spend a year honing it, and then they do their special, and in the industry we call it burning. You burn that hour. You burn the hour, mm-hmm. and it's gone. Now, there are some people mm-hmm. like Jim Gaffigan. He's a very gracious comedian. He understands where his appeal is, and he will get back on stage for an encore and be like, who wants to hear an old joke? Are there right. any requests? He does that. That's right. not in the specials, but he knows that people want to hear Hot Pockets. You know, like, they want to hear
right.
that.
And, exactly.
You know.
That's so interesting, and we have to go to break, but it's such an interesting idea because I think that there's a Joni Mitchell quote where, like, she says something like, you know, art and all the different times of art, but no one ever asked Van Gogh, like, just paint Starry Night again, man. Like, yeah. unlike music.
For sure, exactly.
Which, like, you go because you want to hear that song.
Yeah.
And there's certain jokes that it's like, no matter how many times you hear it, it's still funny.
Yeah.
All right, yep. we're going to take a quick break, but AJ Grill will still be here when we come back. Stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, a product of Civic Media. Enjoy it live across Wisconsin, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Find your local station on our website, civicmedia.us, or on the Civic Media app, and catch any of your favorite shows as a podcast wherever you listen.
That were in their 30s tried to hype me up for my 30s. Maybe you guys had the same thing. Like, they all said the same thing. Like, AJ, your 30s are great. Your 30s are like your 20s, but with money. Yeah. But I know that's not true for me specifically, okay? Because in the daytime, I work at a nonprofit. Yeah, it's right there in the name, folks. Nonprofit, okay? You understand? You follow on? And, like, also, that saying just doesn't make any sense. Your 30s are like your 20s, but with money. So what you're telling me is I'm going to blow all my money in my 30s? That's what I would have done with any money in my 20s, okay? Do you guys know how bad I wanted a $400 potato cannon at 22? Bad. Really bad. It's called a Moon Cannon MX-1. It can launch a spud 150 yards.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. We are talking to comedian AJ Grill, who you're just hearing. So did you ever get the potato cannon?
I did not, but I have continued to look at them, and they're falling in price. Everything's rising in price.
It's just like flat screen TVs. Every year, it's a little more affordable.
I just love that there are specific models of potato guns. Who knew that there was more than like one model of potato gun?
I mean, do you need a license for that thing? That feels like it could really hurt someone.
Second Amendment, Kristen.
I know.
You don't, and I. Yeah. Yeah, it covers potato guns, spud guns, yeah. Yeah, you guys surprised me with that clip. It's good that I have a radio clean clip. Look at that.
There you go.
There you go. Yeah, there you go, baby.
All right, so we were talking about this last week, AJ, and I would love to know, Are you really missing, like, do you think the Laughing Tap should become an anti-woke comedy club?
I didn't know
where
that.
You feel safe to say wherever you want and tell any jokes.
Yeah, I think Joe Rogan should buy up the Laughing Tap. I've been saying that for years.
Hey man, if he wants to pay me some money, I've got a price too. So
no, but I mean, as we have you here, I think Greg and I have talked about this a lot on when he comes on every Wednesday. But I think the conversations around, because I've seen your set. I think I saw you do the 2021 Milwaukee Comedy Fest is when I saw you perform, and like. Do you feel limited in what you can or cannot say these days because of cancel culture?
Absolutely not. That's such a silly thing. And I feel like it's becoming a more and more like mainstream talking point. Like you can say whatever you want. You just have to be able to deal with the ramifications of what you say, which has been the way that it's always been.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, George Carlin got arrested. I mean, people were getting arrested. Like, comedians are not getting arrested for obscenity anymore. Not. But unlike the early comics who would get arrested all the time for saying what they wanted to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the thing is back then, when they were getting arrested, the public clutched their pearls and say, I can't believe he said it. Now when that happens, you're like, I can't believe we can't say whatever we want because comedy. And now Tucker Carlson has taken comedy as this big, you know, like, they're not safe. I'm like, Tucker, we don't need you.
Tucker, you're not funny.
We don't need you.
Man.
You're not funny. You're not even ironically funny. You are nothing. And don't try to help us. By the way. Go on.
Go ahead.
No, you go.
There's a great podcast, podcast where he brings on these comedy historians, and they talk about, like, from way back before it was even stand-up comedy, like comics continually, like, being canceled. Like, this is not a new thing. You could always say what you wanted, but you're gonna have to deal with the ramifications of that.
Mm-hmm. yeah
it's not new.
No, it's not new. And yes, I agree with AJ. You can say whatever you want, and I support you saying whatever you want, but you better be able to have the thick skin to take the criticism. And 9 times out of 10, they don't have it.
Well, are comedians known for their thick skin?
We are tough. We are tough people who definitely don't cry when we're at home by ourselves watching Ted Lasso.
We don't need external validation all of the time.
And you know what? If you say something and a venue's like, hey, you said that and we didn't like it, you're not allowed back here. They're totally allowed to do that too.
Yeah.
Find somewhere else to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And so as far as AJ, we're going to put the link out for our show notes today for your album. But I guess any other tours or dates or anything, at least in Wisconsin, because that's where our audience is. But what's coming up as far as performing?
I'll be at the Brumder, I think I'm saying that right, the Brumder Mansion this weekend, Saturday, April 1st. I'm going to be doing, a gym in, I don't know, it's near the Laughing Tap. Sorry, Greg.
Like a gym?
Doing a gym.
Is that
a gym? That serves beer.
Oh.
Is that the show I think it is?
Maybe.
Okay. I have thoughts. Go on.
What show it is. But I'll be there. What else do I got coming up? If you have any listeners in Columbus, Ohio, I'll be in Columbus, Ohio, Iowa City, Iowa. But that's at Boone and Crockett every other Thursday at 10 o'clock. Reagan Niemel and I run a show there. It's free. We got some great comics coming through, and that's always a really fun time.
Oh, fine. I didn't know that you guys did that.
I need to get to that show.
I'd go with you.
Okay.
Let's do it.
All right.
All right, and then I guess final question. Will you be there on Monday for the Brewers opening day?
Yeah, you want to go on Monday?
I will be there. I'm there. I already got my ticket.
See, I thought the home opener was tomorrow, and I refused to go because it was Cubs, and then I found out. I'm so oblivious right now, so now I want to go.
That's okay. I will be listening. I'm actually the staff that I work at. We're doing what we call dumpster dogs. We make hot dogs by the dumpsters on opening day. So we're going to be eating dumpster dogs listening to the Brewers tomorrow.
That does not sound that appealing, if I'm going to be totally honest. It sounds like a stomachache waiting to happen.
It's better than what our friend Gary Zajikowski does, which is before when you could take food in, he would put cooked bratwurst into a bag. And just take him.
Like a plastic grocery bag?
Yeah. He would do that. And he would just all of a sudden pull out a sweaty, sweaty brat in a sweatier bun. Hey, you want a pocket dog?
Yeah. I'll eat a pocket dog any day.
Yeah, that's true. I ate a couple that day, so that's fine. I mean, I get Whatever. I don't care. Look at this. Does this look like the discernment of fine taste?
All right. Well, AJ, you are welcome back anytime. Thank you so much for joining us today.
This
has been super fun. And we'll catch you live at Boone and Crockett soon.
Maybe you'll see you tonight, buddy.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. All right. When we come back, can you be honest without hurting people's feelings? I think I can. Greg, do you think you can?
I kind of want to be honest and hurt people's feelings.
Yeah, well, that's another approach.
I can.
All right, we'll be back in just a minute. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
You say something like, is that it? I know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say, oh, yeah, that's it. Then you tell me you want some more. Well, I'm not surprised. But I'm quite sleepy.
It's business. It's business time.
Business hours are over, baby.
It's business.
Can you tell the truth without hurting someone's feelings? 844-967-2789. Do you feel like you can tell the truth, like be honest with someone, without hurting their feelings? Or is it impossible to be blunt and honest and still keep feelings intact? What do you think?
Yeah.
Jane, what do you think?
You got to be careful.
Yeah.
You have to be careful. I have in the past been somewhat harsh.
No.
I know, it's shocking. I know, yeah. I don't believe it.
Well, and I wonder, but I think it's interesting, especially with our Midwest niceties that sometimes I think can turn into passive aggressiveness or just sucking it up and not, and like harboring resentment. Because I think sometimes when you don't tell the truth, I mean, it depends what it is, you risk having feelings build that the other person doesn't realize that you're harboring. And then someday you just blow up finally. But
yeah.
And that's for something that is bothering you versus giving feedback, like in a work situation, like how, like balancing that ability to be honest, but not rude.
I think you can do that if you know, I mean, at the end of the day, I think everyone wants honesty, but I also think everybody needs good, positive, being held up positively. Like, you know, if you ask me something, I'm like, I love the work you're doing. I love the work you're doing. You're a valued part of the team. Here are some places for improvement. You can do that. You can be honest. You can also make the person feel good, and you don't have to be like hurtful. I think if you're being hurtful, you're trying to be hurtful. You don't care about the person's feelings. That's just how I feel.
But I do think too, I think there are people who do not want to hear the truth.
Oh, agreed.
And because I've had, going back a long time, old friendships where all they want you is to be their ear and then to agree with everything and every decision that they make. And as soon as you point out that there might be a slight flaw in your argument, it's like, you're not my friend. You don't support me. That's the end.
I call that friendship with conditions. I've had friends like that in the past where you can't talk about certain things. You can't do certain things. And I'm like, this isn't, a friendship is open. A friendship should be honest. A friendship should be free to each other and helpful, and you grow. The moment that someone turns away and says, well, you can't say that to me, or you're not agreeing with, that's a friendship with conditions. That's not even a friendship.
Well, we want to hear from you. Is there an example of either a time someone was honest with you and you appreciated it and they didn't hurt your feelings, but it was a good thing, or vice versa, that you were very honest with someone and it didn't come off as rude.
Didn't go so well.
Or I guess maybe it didn't go so well either. 844-967-2789. That is 844-96.
Party.
And we bring this up because we actually both separately came across this video on TikTok where It's from an account called Purple Sheep Consulting, but they set up the video that that says, whenever I hear someone say, I'm not rude, I'm just honest, he feels like that's not true. Because, and then he cuts to this clip of Simon Sinek, who's a author, motivational speaker. He's great. I really love Simon Sinek. But then it cuts to him giving this piece of advice.
So whenever I hear someone say, I'm not mean, I'm just blunt, or I'm just honest, I can't help but think about this clip.
There's nothing that says truth has to be brutal. It just has to be true. You don't have to hurt people. Also, timing. A true story. So I went to see a friend's play. I could not wait for this thing to end. It was so bad. And I went out to say hi to her after the performance, and she came out. She was still in costume and makeup. She knows I'll always tell her the truth in these kinds of things. And she says to me, what did you think? Now is not the time and place. She's pumped up full of adrenaline. Now is not the time for me to give her a critical evaluation of this god-awful performance. I sidestepped the question, but said something true. I said, it was such a treat to be here, to see you do your thing. You know, I've been wanting to see you on a stage forever, and it was so much fun to see you on the stage. All of that was true. The next day, when the adrenaline had come down, and I called her up and said, can I tell you what I thought about the play? She goes, yeah, of course. And I told her critically, piece by piece, what I thought about it and how bad it was. And we had a perfectly rational conversation about it. Didn't hurt her feelings. The day before, I would have really hurt her feelings. We mistake being honest with being honest now. Now, I can't lie, and I have to answer the question, but I can answer it tomorrow when the conditions are better for that message to be received.
I agree with that.
I agree with it. But do you feel like, so as a performer, so if I were to come see you do your stand-up, and the night of, the same scenario, but then the next day, if I called and said, do you want me to give you my thoughts on the show, do you feel like the next day you could hear criticism without it being hurt?
If we had that friendship, so yes, if we had that friendship, comics do that for each other. I had a comedian. For a while, there was a comedian out there when I would do sets. I come off stage. He goes, I've got some notes for you. I'm like, I didn't ask you to take notes. I didn't ask you for anything. I want to do my set, and that's it. But if I said, but if we had an arrangement, or if we had that kind of relationship where we gave each other notes, absolutely, for a couple of reasons. One, I trust you. Two, I know you're going to tell me the honest truth without hurting my feelings. So therefore, I can feel however I feel about it, especially with jokes, which are so tender to comedians. But at the end of the day, I will think through it and say, she's not going to tell me this if she didn't mean it. So what can I do to make this better? Or whatever it is with a joke. Yes, in the same scenario, I could absolutely handle that.
You got to be careful when you sidestep a question like that, though, because I think he made a good point about how much he'll glad he was to see her and how much fun that was. But sometimes people are a little bit more savvy and they can see you sidestepping it. As the youngest of six kids, I asked my mother once if they had planned on me or if I was just a surprise. And her response was, Jane, we love all you kids.
How old are you when you asked that?
I don't know, maybe 12. And that kind of answered my question, but not exactly what I was looking for.
I mean, it's really all about this how the sidestep. If she says, what do you think? And I just go, oh my gosh, this popcorn was amazing. Or you say something dumb, but he already sets up the fact that they have a relationship where he is honest with her. And I like the fact, like, let's take brutally out of it. Brutally should be reserved for, like, murder, not the truth. Because he's right. I don't like when people say, I'm not mean, I'm just honest. Like, no, you're mean. You're mean. Because your honesty, and are you even honest then? Are you actually honest, or are you tinging your quote-unquote honesty with meanness to hurt somebody?
Well, and I would say I'm a fairly direct person. Mm-hmm. I think there's some colleagues of mine who've read some of my emails when I am getting to the point. And I'm not disrespectful, but I am also not littering my email with a bunch of emojis and exclamation points and like passive voice in how I'm wording things.
Yes. You don't dance around a lot.
Don't dance around a lot. Who has the time, Jane?
No.
I don't have time to dance around this question. Let's say what you mean. And And that isn't a work scenario. I would say in friendships, maybe sometimes I'm a little bit more sensitive, and it also is knowing who the person is. But I do think that there is a difference between I'm not rude, I'm just honest. But I've never used those words. I've never been like, because I don't think I often get accused of being mean. But direct, yes.
Yeah.
And so so you think that people who say that, who are like, who've been told they are mean, and they justify it by saying they're just honest, you think that there is actually a twinge of, I am here to like irk you a little bit in the way that I say this, and I know that I'm doing it.
If the person says, I get this all the time, people say I'm mean. I'm not mean, I'm honest. If you're being told on a regular basis that you are hurting people's feelings, you can't walk away from it going, I'm just honest. You can. People can do whatever they want. But at the end of the day, if people are telling you this, you have an obligation to look at yourself and say, if I'm being quote unquote truthful as I think, why is it making people hurt? That's to me just basic.
But I think it draws, that's, and there is no, we're not going to answer this question definitively, but the line between sensitivity, mm-hmm. an individual sensitivity on how they receive things versus the fragility in which people deliver things. Like, where does the burden, like, where is the balance between that burden of like certain people, like to a certain extent, you need to toughen up and be able to take criticism or take mm-hmm. feedback and not think that anytime someone's being like holding a mirror up, that it's an attack versus people who, like, how much burden is there on to like deliver information carefully?
The burden is on both individuals to approach other individuals with empathy and kindness and caring. That doesn't preclude you from being truthful. If I'm talking to you, I know how to speak to people with empathy and truth and kindness. I don't want to hurt your feelings. I don't want anything I tell you to hurt your feelings. But as a listener, I also need to understand that I can't be so sensitive that everything that you tell me that's truthful is coming from a place of attack. So there's responsibility on both ends. But my point is, if you're the type of person who says, everyone says I'm mean, I'm just honest. Well, if everybody, quote unquote, if that's a true statement, if everyone's saying you're mean. And rethink the way you talk to people. Because at the end of the day, your life's going to suck.
And they're just providing cover for themselves.
Yeah, it's the same people who are like I'm a jerk and I know it. I'm like, cool. Way to say something you should never be proud of.
And there are some people who are like that, right? It's the whole idea of like owning the libs. Yeah, and there are certain personality, and I've known some of these. They're usually men, but sometimes women. Yeah. That they get a kick out of getting a rise out of people.
Yeah,
and you see it a lot in like keyboard warriors, but I've known people who love to do this, and I don't know how they maintain friendships
because they surround themselves with people who think they do or the way they do.
This was a person that my brother's friend group. My brother's no longer friends with this person. I don't know how much he's grown up or changed over time, but he is, and I knew him before. This was pre-Trump, but he was, and you can imagine we did not see eye to eye on group trips when we would all be hanging out. But like, it's one thing to have your belief system, but I don't necessarily think he had a belief system. I think he just wanted to be a contrarian.
He liked chaos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he liked to see how far he could push people.
Yeah. And
he's a big fizzy douche.
And those types of people hang out with the same type of people. And at the end of the day,
but the other people in the group didn't do that. So I never understood why they liked this guy. I was like, why do you let him hang out? And they're like, well, I don't know. He's fun. It's like, that's your excuse.
Because maybe they get it and they don't care enough about whatever. And they're like, yeah, I don't care that chaos reigns when he's here. It's fun to have the chaos. But they're not being honest with him. But you don't know that. So they could be lying to you too. They could be like, yeah, one person in that group might be like, yeah, I hate this guy, but we always invite Alvin out.
I wish his name was Alvin.
Me too.
I really wish his name was Alvin instead of the other douchey name that he had.
I mean, that's the thing is, and the bigger they are with that, the less honest they are with themselves and with other people. They're going to tell you, I'm a contrarian. I like to, you know, if you tell me not to do something, I'm going to do it. Well, that just makes you...
I'm an independent thinker.
You're a child then. That's what you are. You are a child.
All right. Well, solved that one.
Yeah, did it.
Next. All right. When we come back, we are going to talk about who's headlining at the Laughing Tap coming up this weekend. Really?
No.
Debbie is pretty funny. Ba-dum-ba. All right. We have one more segment. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Come to you when the work you put in is realized. Let yourself feel the pride, but always stay humble and
popsicle, shut off the AC and roll the windows down. Let that summer sun
forget the alphabet. Has anybody else forgotten the alphabet? All right, yeah, I don't forget the letters, but I do forget the order that the letters are supposed to go in. So what I did is I came up with a mnemonic device to help help make me remember the order of the letters of the alphabet. This is something that you can say to jar your own memory if you ever forget, okay? Acronym based comedy. Doesn't ever feel good. Honestly, I just keep lamenting my negative opinion. Perhaps questioning reality serves the universe very well. Xylophoniac zebra.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I'm Kristen Bry. That is Greg Bach. And Jane Vetner is on the board. Who are we just listening to, Greg?
Laughing Tap headliner this weekend, Mr. Ian Abramson.
That was pretty impressive.
That's just a touch of Ian's, I think, genius.
Okay.
He is a stand-up comedian, but he is also, I don't want to say performance artist because I feel like that will get negative connotations, but his has more of a high art type of thing. So if you like conceptual comedy, this is going to be right up your alley. It's very, I think it's got influences of Kaufman, but it's not so off the rails where you think he's just going to run out the building and, you know, wrestle someone on the streets, but who knows? But he's just very, very funny. And the jokes, the way he takes jokes and formulates them and presents them is wonderful. And I truly adore him. And I'm so happy he's back.
So he's been there before?
He headlined One Nighter in 2020, March of 2020. That was the week before we closed for 4 months. And then,
so when you guys had just opened?
Pretty much, yeah. And then he was supposed to do a weekend, I think last year or 2021. At the last minute, he got a call from Hollywood saying, we need you to audition for something special. And then Hollywood calls, they go, which is fine.
Did he get it?
I can't remember.
No.
But, you know, I got a weekend off that weekend. But Ian is fantastic. He's super kind. And, yeah, if you like your comedy with a little more highbrow and a little more art and a little more zhuzhing, a little more theater, I pulled another clip that I'm going to ask Jane to play. And I don't know whether to give it away now or just let you listen to it. And then I'm going to play the clip now and I'll tell you why I pulled it.
Okay.
There is a portrait of an old man, you know? All right. Okay. I'd love to thank the guy, but all it says is Rip Dave. You know what I mean? All right. The other day, Google asked me to reset my password. They said I needed 8 unique characters. So I entered an entire Tennessee Williams play. Great, okay. Noted. A little about me, where I come from. I grew up in the science projects. That's cheap government housing made out of fake volcanoes. Thank you. Okay, all right. You would not believe how surprised I was when I found out that Roe versus Wade was not about ways to navigate water. I said, you're trying to repeal what? A prime minister is a minister that can only be divided by itself and one.
Nice.
So the reason why I pulled that clip is because it's his Conan clip. And if you watch it, this goes back to what AJ was saying as far as like visuals. In his clip, he puts a dog collar, a shock dog collar around his neck, and he hands the remote to an audience member and he says, whenever you don't like a joke, just give me a shock. And that special, that Tennessee Williams joke and the following one and then the final one, he got shocked. And you see it on his face. He's like, oh, all right, all right. And then he says no, and the audience is laughing. It's because an audience member has just shocked him into his neck. That's amazing to me.
That's why you say performance art.
So it's going to be a fun time. He's very funny. Tickets are available. Go to laughingtap.com. It's going to be a great time. $20 for tickets. No drink minimums. If you're not available this weekend, we have Amir K next week. Come in. He's doing 5 shows. That'll be fun. And yeah, so yeah.
I just want to reiterate too, Greg, those are really good prices.
Yes.
They are really, really good prices.
Thank you very much. That honestly, like, I'm not going to lie, that means the world to me every time someone says that, because, you know, no one at the club is rich. We understand the value of a dollar.
But you valued money.
I do value money, but shut up. I value your money, and yeah. I don't want you to have to blow $300 to come to my club.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to spend $300 on alcohol, but, you know, parking and babysitters and all that stuff, like people have to do to go out.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make sure that you are, even if you're spending $20 or $200, that you had a great night there. And we don't want to keep people from coming because they can't afford a night to go see stand-up. I mean, yeah. I know people who are like, I can't afford to go see this person I love because the tickets are too expensive.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Like so, Taylor Swift.
Well, I would pay anything to see her. No, actually, I wouldn't. I don't know why I said that. I would pay anything to see Beyonce.
You would pay anything to see Beyonce?
Absolutely.
Anything?
Yeah. I got a reading glasses. You want them?
I don't think that will get you a Beyonce ticket.
That's called bartering.
Yeah, and that's the way the world used to work, ladies. If you didn't, that's how America was great.
I feel like my max for Beyonce would be $500. Depending on how close I'm sitting. I've paid $350.
So I don't think I would pay whatever. I did say this, Bridget knows this. If Daft Punk ever went on tour, she knows I'd probably max out a credit card to see it.
You'd take a second mortgage to
I would pay the flight, I get the hotel, I get the ticket. It would be a major thing for me. And
okay.
I think my cap would be like $3,000 to $4,000. I would go into a little bit of debt to see that, because I know it's probably never happening again, because they haven't toured since 2007. Point is, Laughing Tap.
Really? 2007?
Yep. That was the last time they toured. They didn't tour for
that song, Up All Night, that was 2013.
They didn't tour at all for that album.
Wow.
So, but you know where you can see great comedians touring?
The Laughing Tap.
LaughingTap.com. 3 shows this weekend, 7:30, and it's 10 o'clock on Saturday night. Tickets are available. Ian Abramson is the headliner, and yeah, it's going to be a fun, fun time.
Fun, fun, fun. No sour, haha, fun time, power hour.
You are just getting it. You said, like,
off the tip of the tongue now.
I was listening last week, and I was like, wow.
I don't even screw it up anymore.
No, you don't.
All right. Well, this has been a very fun show.
Sure has.
We love it when you're here, Greg.
Thank you. That means a lot to me.
Gets us through the week.
Oh, stop it.
Even if you tell me to shut up multiple times for show.
Well, when you're being ridiculous about the barter system, I mean, that's important.
We should go back, because you're not an ultra-capitalist. You're an anti-capitalist.
I'm not an anti-capitalist.
All right. Well, we will be back tomorrow for another fun-filled show of As Goes Wisconsin. Stick around for Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian, although it will definitely just be Luke because Fancy Brian's on vacation.
Whoa.
Or the Chad Holmes show. So thank you for texting and calling. We'll be back tomorrow. Have a great Wednesday.
Thank you for listening to As Goes Wisconsin, available on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please subscribe and leave us a rating. As Goes Wisconsin is a product of Civic Media and airs live across Wisconsin Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Civic Media is a statewide network of radio stations broadcasting local news, local sports, thoughtful commentary, and hand-picked music. We are always streaming on the Civic Media app. Find out where you can listen on the air or learn more about Civic Media and sponsorship opportunities by going to our website, civicmedia.us. We thank you for listening.